we serve an awesome God. Amen.
Amen.
Our Maymaker. And it is so good to be together today in worship and to offer our praise to God. This morning we begin this season of Lent, which actually started this past Wednesday night. And on Ash Wednesday, it will continue through our celebration of Easter coming up in 40 plus days. And during this Lenten season, we're beginning a new series of messages called Giving It Up. And our scripture for this morning's message, as we get started with this series, is from Matthew chapter 4. And I'll be reading verses 1 to 11 of Matthew 4. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The tempter came to him and said, "Since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread." Jesus replied, "It's written, people won't live only by bread, but by every word spoken by God." After that, the devil brought him into the holy city and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down. For it is written, I will command my angels concerning you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus replied, "Again, it's written, don't test the Lord your God." Then the devil brought him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, "I'll give you all these if you bow down and worship me." Jesus responded, "Go away, Satan, because it is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil left him. And angels came and took care of him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Once again this morning, we've included some teaching notes on an insert, and I would invite you to take that out if you've not done so already, and to write things down as we go through this message together. It's my favorite comic strip, Dennis the Menace. And this particular one shows Dennis kneeling beside his bed for bedtime prayers. And he's in his pajamas, but he's still wearing his cowboy hat, his boots with the stirrups on them. His six shooters are at his side, and his hands are raised in the air. And the caption reads, "I'm here to turn myself in. I'm here to turn myself in." We can only imagine what mischief Dennis had gotten into that day. But whatever it was, he just had to give it up. Give it all to God before he crawled into bed to sleep for the night. "I'm here to turn myself in." This past Wednesday night here in the sanctuary, we had an Ash Wednesday service. And at a point in the service, people came forward to receive the sign of the cross with ashes. And we remembered our need for God's grace. And in effect, we were saying, "I'm here to turn myself in." Yesterday, as Pastor John mentioned, we had this wonderful outpouring of love for the day of pampering. And part of the worship service here was a blessing of their hands. And as women came forward for prayer, in effect, they were saying, "I'm here to turn myself in. I need help to do what God is calling me to do." You know, as it says in number one in the notes, Lent, this season, is a season of surrender. We remember the gift of God to us in Jesus Christ, and we respond, I'm here to turn myself in. Now, for many of us, surrender to God during this season means giving something up. And here on the screen, you can see a collage of words. What are you giving up for Lent? So, the snooze button. See, I was just going to ask, as you look at that, what is it that leaves up for you? What is it that you need to give up in order to have a deeper fellowship with God? I decided when I looked at that list that I'm going to give up makeup. I mean, I'm just going to go without it this for the next 40 days. Anyway, during Lent, you know, you might give up television so that you can devote more time to read scripture and pray and have conversation with family and friends, perhaps. You might give up fast food so that you can be healthy for your loved ones. You might give up holding a grudge or placing blame so that you can be free to forgive and make for peace. Well, each week in this series, we're going to look at the gospel story in which Jesus calls us to give it up so that we can be more open to his grace and his mercy. And in our gospel this morning, Jesus invites us to surrender so that we can overcome temptation. Now, I don't know what temptation you might have brought with you to church this morning, but I do know that you have temptation in your life. We all struggle with temptation. I know I do. In this account, as Jesus is tempted, he teaches us some important lessons about overcoming temptation. And the first lesson he teaches us is this. To overcome temptation, we need to recognize where temptation really comes from. The origin of temptation is evil. You know, the Bible points to several sources of temptation. One of them is our own sinful desires. It's those areas in our lives where we're most vulnerable to sin. Another source is the world, the influences that from day to day would tempt us to look for love in all the wrong places. But whatever that source of temptation may be, it originates with evil, with Satan, with the devil. Verse 1 tells us the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. The devil was after Jesus, and we might say the devil is after us as well. Now, to our sophisticated modern minds, talking about the devil just seems so old-fashioned. And yet, the adversary, the evil one, Satan, is just as real today as in the desert that day with Jesus. See, we stop believing in the devil because, you know, temptation, it never really looks evil. If it looked evil, if it appeared like a zombie with blood dripping out of its mouth, and it looked scary, we'd run away from it. But the devil always makes those things that would undo us look so enticing. That little bit of gossip that we pass along doesn't seem so bad. It might even sound like a prayer request if we pass it along in the right way. Gluttony doesn't look so wicked, it just looks like another piece of chocolate cake. And those three words, just one more. Just one more drink. Just one more look at that site on the internet. Just one more trip to the casino. Just one more encounter in that illicit relationship, just a few more dollars, no one will notice. It all seems so innocent. When in reality, what we are involved in is a battle with evil for our souls. The New Testament letter of Ephesians tells us in chapter 6, verse 12, we are fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. The embodiment of evil that showed up in the desert with Jesus that day is still seeking to influence your life and mine. Because God wants us to experience that joyful life we find in Christ, but Satan wants us to be worried and sad and melancholy all the time. Look at what Bishop Francis de Sales of the 16th century wrote. The evil one is pleased with sadness and melancholy because he himself is sad and melancholy and will be so for all eternity. Hence, he desires that everyone should be like himself. The first lesson from this story is to understand where temptation comes from. Its origin is evil. And the second lesson about temptation here is this. The focus of temptation is always on itself. The tempter is trying to convince me, and whatever temptation comes my way, that it's all about me. It's all about me. In the temptation here in Matthew chapter 4, the devil makes it look like everything he tempts Jesus to do will in some way be of benefit to Jesus. And one of the big questions that often gets asked by those who are studying these verses is the question, why not? Why not? I mean, what's so bad about Jesus turning stones into bread? Can you imagine how hungry he must have been after 40 days of eating nothing? I mean, he looks terrible, he's dirty, he doesn't smell good. I mean, when we don't eat for 4 hours, we're ready to stop at a drive-thru for a cheeseburger. What would be so wrong with the Son of God to use a little bit of his power to fill his empty stomach? Why not? And why not climb up into the bell tower and wait for the crowds to gather? And then at the right moment, just throw yourself down. What an introduction to your ministry, Jesus, when those angels swoop down and rescue you before you go splat on the sidewalk. Why not? Why not accept the offer to rule all the kingdoms of the world? Just imagine with that power what you could do, Jesus. Why not? Why not? The tempter's question. But the real question is, what kind of Savior is Jesus going to be? You know, all through the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus performs astounding miracles. He walks on water, he cleanses lepers, he restores sight to the blind and opens the ears of the deaf. He makes the lame to walk and he raises the dead, and on. But in miracle after miracle, Jesus never uses his power to benefit himself. Jesus only ever uses his power for the blessing of others. He said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a sinful world. Temptation always focuses on self. It's all about me, we're tempted to think. whenever I'm tempted, the question I need to ask is, what kind of a Christian am I going to be? Is my life going to be all about me? Or am I going to live my life to honor God? Will I live my life to love and serve others? The origin of temptation is evil. The focus of temptation is self. And then here's another lesson, and one that helps us begin to turn the corner toward how to overcome temptation. The logic of temptation is unbiblical. Unbiblical. You know, Satan uses the Bible. He quotes Scripture in this passage, but his interpretation is corrupt. If ever there is a lesson against taking a little bit of the Bible and using it to justify your own ends, here's a lesson in it. But Jesus responds to every temptation with the truth of God's word. I love what one commentator says about this passage. In the midst of an unbiblical assault, the Son of God responds with a nuclear strike of Scripture. He sends a volley of Bible right at the devil. The devil tempts Jesus to justify his own need by turning stones into bread, but Jesus responds with the truth of God's word. It's written, he says, people won't live by bread, but by every word spoken by God. The devil tempts Jesus to glorify himself with a spectacular leap and an even more spectacular catch. But Jesus responds with the truth of God's word. Don't test the Lord your God. The devil tempts Jesus with the lure of world domination, all the kingdoms of the world, but Jesus responds with the truth of God's word. Go away, Satan, because it's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus is showing us something very important here. To overcome temptation, we've got to have a firm grasp on God's word. That's why you need to be here on Sunday morning. That's why we need to be part of a Sunday school class or a small group. That's why we need to make sure that the children God has put in our care grow up learning the Word of God. And why we need time in the Word every day and to memorize Scripture to carry it with us. Let's read this next verse together. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let's read that again. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, to prepare for an emergency, like the possibility they've been talking about of a coronavirus epidemic, officials tell us to store up things in the event that we're not able to leave our homes for a period of time. Jesus calls us to store up the Word of God in our hearts so that when temptation comes our way, we can overcome it. We need the Bible to overcome temptation. But we need more than just the Bible. And that gets us to the final lesson on temptation in this passage. That is that the power of temptation is shattered by Jesus Christ. The power of temptation is shattered by Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, we're being tempted today. We're being tempted just as Jesus was during his lifetime. I mean, this is just the first of many tests that Jesus faced. But there's a critical difference between our temptation and the temptation of Jesus. All of us have given in to temptation. All of us could say this morning, I'm here to turn myself in. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when Jesus was tempted, he never gave in. He was the spotless Lamb of God who on the cross made the sacrifice for our sins. And when we turn from our sin and we look to Jesus, and we believe in him as our Lord and Savior, we have help. We don't have to give in to our temptations because we have a Savior who has already won the victory for us over the powers of evil. Amen? Look at what the letter to the Hebrews says about this. Good verses to carry with you today. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who in every way was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find help in time of need. When you draw near to him, Jesus is there. Wherever you are, whatever's going on, Jesus is there. And he gives mercy and grace to help, whatever your temptation may be. Do you need help? Do you need help when you're struggling? Jesus is there. Do you need power when you're feeling overwhelmed by things that tempt you? Reach out to Jesus. He's there. Jesus, who overcame temptation in his life, is able to overcome the temptation in yours. As we begin this Lenten season, I want to invite you, turn yourself in. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, I want to invite you to give it up. Give it all up. Jesus loves you. The yearning of his heart is for you to know his love. Find that life in him.